Welcome to the Bengals Wire podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Zargar. Today we'll be talking about Adrian McCarron winning his arbitration, where he might end up, and where the Bengals go from here. First, I want to introduce a very special guest, John Sheeran, an analyst on the Bengals YouTube channel, DNH Sports, and also a writer for Cincy Jungle. John, tell us a little bit about yourself and about your projects.
Right, so I basically just watch film for Cincy Jungle. I mainly specialize in breaking down offensive and defensive lineman play, and I really have a passion for breaking down draft prospects, and I specialize in, you know, breaking down offensive lineman, defensive lineman there. And I just have, you know, just this unhealthy passion for the Bengals that's brought a lot of stress onto me, but I like just watching football and writing about it.
And I know your channel has kind of an unconventional method, but you guys debate everything from draft picks and potential draft picks and to, you know, in-season performances. And I know a lot of the debates on the channel have been about Adrian McCarron and whether he should be given a chance over Dalton. So tell us a little bit about, you know, kind of your videos and also your articles on Cincy Jungle.
Right, so about a year ago, we did a lot of work on just breaking down Andy Dalton's play week in and week out. And one of the co-hosts on the show, his name is Hoji, the Electric Smoji, he's a McCarron fanatic. So we have this kind of relationship where, you know, whenever McCarron would play in the preseason or if he played in the regular season for whatever reason, you know, we would have these back and forths about how McCarron, he did this, and I would have to, you know, kind of calm him down. And it's kind of just that dynamic of, you know, just the classic infatuation, unhealthy rather, for, you know, the backup quarterback and whatnot. And we did a lot of breaking down Dalton's play and a lot of, you know, analyzing is he the guy for the future, because that's really what the people want to hear. They want to hear about the quarterbacks. Andy Dalton's one of the hottest names in terms of, you know, hot and cold play at the quarterback position, and one of the most more foggier futures, I guess, than anybody else in the NFL right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is natural to a certain degree, because the Bengals were one of the, you know, three franchises, I believe, who made the playoffs five straight years in that run from 2011 to 2015. And you could argue Andy Dalton was a big part of that, but at the same time, he had, every performance, every playoff performance of his was astoundingly bad. And, you know, that you see a guy like Nick Foles or, I don't know, Joe Flacco or all these other quarterbacks that are lesser quarterbacks, you know, Eli Manning even, definitely in the regular season they're lesser quarterbacks, and you see that they somehow can do something and deliver. And so it is, I think it is fair to be curious if another player has the intangibles to get it done on the biggest stages. But we'll come back to that about the McCarron-Dalton debate in a little bit. So let's just talk about what happened so far. So Adrian McCarron won his arbitration. He becomes an unrestricted free agent. And the Bengals now, they are probably going to end up with a compensatory pick. So that'd be like a third round pick if a team gives him a you know, I guess, no one's going to give him top tier money, but I imagine the kind of contract he'll get would be a third round pick, would you say, John?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that the Browns are the favorites to give him a deal that would put the Bengals in a position to get that compensatory pick. It's going to take an average salary of around $15 to $16 million to really confirm that. And also the Bengals are going to do whatever they can, and in this case, they're going to do nothing in terms of counteracting that compensatory pick. So they're not going to, they already pretty much weren't going to go out and spend a lot of money in free agency, but just to confirm that they're going to get that compensatory pick, they're not going to spend any money that would potentially counteract that compensatory pick that McCarron's salary is going to get them.
Now, the other options are unrealistic, which is Bengals could put a franchise tag on him, which would give him something like, what, $27 million?
Yeah,
that's not happening. Garoppolo. And, or they could give him a long-term deal, but that would be, that would require them to first trade Andy Dalton. You're not going to pay two quarterback starters money, and it looks like they're not looking to move on from Dalton, right? So yeah, it looks like the compensatory pick is what they're going to get back, and Adrian McCarron's done in Cincinnati.
Absolutely. I think that if McCarron had a future in Cincinnati, they wouldn't have let it go this far. I think they thought they were doing the right thing by holding out for potentially a better deal, and I think they were going to get that deal in October at the trade deadline, and then whatever happened in Cleveland happened, and then basically the asset in this case kind of it just vanished for them, and it diminished in value, and they were expecting a second and third round pick in return. Now they're just going to get a third round pick for a year later, and that's the most they could get out of this. So I think that if they really thought that McCarron was better than Dalton, they wouldn't have let it get this far. And since it's clear what their intentions were, they're just going to do whatever they can to make sure that they just get at least something out of it, because they definitely haven't managed this the way that they intended to.
Well, just for clarification, that third round pick is going to be at the end of the third round when the compensatory picks come up, right?
Right.
And the Cleveland one would have been at the beginning of the third round.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
So in that regard, it's almost like a fourth round pick in a way. Compared to what they would have had, yeah.
Compensatory picks in general aren't very valuable. I don't think there's a lot of players that are drafted with them that end up turning into high quality players. And teams like the Bengals will just use it as, you know, propaganda for, oh, we're getting more draft picks, we're getting more avenues to bring in good players. But when you're talking about, you know, draft picks that you can get from trades and whatnot, you're talking about, you know, draft picks that aren't in the 90s and the 130s, like your third and fourth round compensatory picks. Compensatory picks in general aren't really that valuable. The only value that they have now is that they can be traded, and that was a rule change that took into place last year. So, yes, they can move that pick to potentially move up in the draft, but as we know with the Bengals, they don't really like to be aggressive in the draft. They like to stockpile picks.
Unless a guy like Russell Bodine comes along.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But you know, you said the Bengals didn't think he was a starter, I believe you said, or didn't think he was capable of replacing Andy Dalton.
No.
Right?
I think
here's the thing with that, though, John, is that wouldn't you say that Marvin Lewis knew at the beginning of the year that William Jackson, having seen him in practice, was a better corner than Drake Kirkpatrick, for instance?
I don't know. I don't know if Marvin truly believed. I do think that he thought highly of William, but I think with Marvin, you know, he would have factored in Kirkpatrick's experience with the system. But I think it's obvious. I think it's obvious to people who watch cornerbacks and break down their play a lot that Jackson has more natural ability than Kirkpatrick. And maybe.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Okay, but what I'm saying is this, or that. Let's say that Joe Mixon Joe Mixon was still getting more carries than Hill. Hill just was getting a few carries. Let's go back. My point is this. You know how parents will kind of be like, well, the oldest, you know, some let's say old school parents will have kind of like the oldest has to go first or do this or get this right or that right, right?
Yeah.
Marvin Lewis kind of has that attitude with players. My point is this, is I don't think he knows for sure who's better, Dalton or McCarron. I think it's more just about Dalton is the starter. We've been doing this. And eventually our method is going to pay off. McCarron's a great player too. But he doesn't happen to be the starter. And Dalton doesn't deserve to lose his job. Right? Whereas I think like a guy like, you know, I think that Jim Harbaugh, for instance, maybe Andy Reid, those kind of guys that are looking to win big, they move on. Well, both of them moved on from Alex Smith, actually. Maybe it's something about Alex Smith. But Alex Smith was actually having superb years, both those years, that they moved on from him in favor of younger, more, you know, younger guys with higher upside. And I'm not, Dalton, you know, McCarron's upside isn't that high. You know what I mean?
It's like, about the same as Dalton's.
It's about the same as Dalton, but here's the thing. Nick Foles is probably lower than Dalton's, you could argue statistically, but it's something about certain players, because the quarterback isn't just a passer, right? He's also a coach on the field. He's also a leader. Mm-hmm. And his mental composure, his, you know, his competitiveness, all of that translates to the rest of the team. And if what you kind of gathered from the comments from other Bengals players is that they see something in him. That doesn't mean they don't respect Dalton, but they kind of saw something in McCarron. And remember, the Bengals, if I'm not mistaken, they easily could have gotten a second rounder from McCarron, from the Browns, far earlier than the trade deadline.
Without a doubt.
And then they insisted on a first rounder. And then the Browns said no. And then they said, okay, fine. An hour before the deadline, I believe, they said, okay, two picks. So, in other words, throw in a third rounder. And then the Bengals said no until 20 minutes before the deadline, right?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of team, knowing I actually was in the minority, I thought that McCarron had a good chance of winning the arbitration simply because I know how the Bengals operate. And I totally believed him that the Bengals, you know, stashed them, whether it was to save money on salary, whatever it was, just to hold on to the draft picks. I totally believe that. Because look at with William Jackson last year with the chest injury, with the pectoral tear, right?
Right, he could have came back, but they chose Pierman.
Right. It's just the way they operate. You know, especially with rookies. So I believed McCarron, and I don't think we know what the evidence was, but I'm pretty sure that he was healthy enough. You know, something happened. Anyways, and I believed him, and so he won. But my point is this, is I think that the Bengals really wanted to hold on to him. It wasn't just about value and draft picks. Like, I think that they saw something in him, whether it was the way he leads or the way, you know, something in practice. And I don't think he's the type of player. I don't think McCarron's the type of player whose talent translates in the preseason so much. Because he really is the kind of guy who wants, you know, he has that competitive kind of, that competitiveness is a big trait of his. Not so much as like a huge arm or perfect mechanics or, you know, like being really athletic.
Right, right. And so preseason games. I absolutely agree with all that, actually. I think that whenever he heard about, you know, potentially the Bengals dealing off McCarron, it was always like, okay, we value him really high. It was always that kind of like, you know, that management speak. You know, we value this player highly, and it's going to take a lot to give him up. And I think, yeah, the first round pick was you know, thrown out there a lot of the times and talking about him. And I think they thought really highly of him in that regards. And they also thought, okay, we're not going to give him away unless we're blown away by a deal because of how, you know, highly we value him and whatnot. So I think it was just that mentality of knowing that we have a quarterback who, in a lot of ways, is similar to Dalton, but is also, you know, kind of like a contingency plan in case Dalton regresses dramatically. And therefore, we would still have him unless we got something of which we could replace McCarron of that, of like a first rounder or something like that. So I think they overvalued his ability to, in the sense of who he is as a quarterback. But I think they valued him that highly just because of how, you know, of how much they valued him in terms of a potential replacement.
Yeah. Well, let's move on now to potential landing spots for McCarron. So, obviously, first potential, the most likely, is the Browns. Because you look at the teams like the Broncos, that's a potential landing spot. But I think they'll try to first go after a guy like Cousins, maybe. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know how, what teams saw in Case Keenum, if they think that he has that kind of, you know, he can take a team to the next level or not. But, but with the Browns, you have the Hugh Jackson connection. And if you know, it was the second Browns game, I think, the Bengals were playing, where after the trade fell apart.
Yeah.
And him and McCarron, they're all meeting and hugging. And
such a warm moment at midfield with right, those two.
Right. And that's the thing that I like about McCarron is that, you know, they say, oh, don't go to the Browns, it'll ruin your career. He has so much confidence. He's like, that's what I want. I want to go to a team and turn them into a winner. I know I can do it.
It's so ironic. Not ironic, but it's so fitting that he and Hugh Jackson like would get along or would be like a perfect match. Because I was down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl, and there was like reports that McCarron was like there. He was like wearing a Browns hat or something. But I was just talking around with, you know, locals in Mobile, and they were telling me about how he and Saban don't have the best relationship now. He left Alabama kind of on a bad note, and he really kind of like down talked Saban, or it was something about how he thought he was bigger than the rest of the program, or about how he thought that, you know, he was better than what most people thought he was, and that really kind of tanked his value and or tanked his draft stock in terms of he could have been like a second or third round pick. He ended up being a fifth round pick because he really turned a lot of teams off. And I see a lot of that stuff in who Hugh Jackson is as a coach. I think that he grew this arrogance in Cleveland where he thinks that, you know, he can turn it around. He's 1-31, and I don't think a lot of fans in Cleveland like his attitude and like the cockiness that he has for a lack of success. So I think those two kind of personalities, they kind of mesh together because of how similar they are, and I think they gravitate towards each other because they have this sort of cockiness and this arrogance that could lead to success, but so far it hasn't.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. I actually think McCarron's, what was it, a 4 or 5 game stint with the Bengals in 2015 was pretty impressive. I'll tell you why. The biggest criticism of McCarron that people have is that he took a great offense when Andy Dalton was having like an MVP type year, and they became an average offense, right? Here's my response to that argument. Andy Dalton has never been above average except for 2015. At the same time, Tyler Eifert has never made a major contribution except for 2015. Tyler Eifert caught 12 of Andy Dalton's 25 touchdown passes that year, right? You take away that production, and I'm not saying that he would end up without those 12 touchdown passes, but his efficiency would have gone down without Eifert, right? The same game that Dalton gets injured, Eifert got injured a little earlier, I think on the same drive. And then he was out for two games or so, and he comes back. The only game that McCarron played with him in the regular season was the finale against the Ravens, and McCarron threw two touchdowns. So the same pace that Dalton was on. You see what I mean? So it's like,
so what we're saying is Tyler Eifert is the quarterback whisperer.
Well, not quarterback whisperer, but he adds a dynamic to the offense that really changes. He elevates Dalton's game. My point is, it's hard to argue that McCarron, you know, played with the same offense and wasn't efficient. And by the way, he went 2-1 in his three regular season games, and the only loss was in overtime to the eventual Super Bowl champs. And he played early in that game. He played in a way that we don't see Dalton play in primetime games, right? He was fitting the ball in tight windows. He took the challenge of facing this dominant secondary on the road. He took it in stride. He did pretty well.
I do think
I was just saying, moving on to the playoff game, what we saw from him was something, again, that I can never imagine seeing from Dalton. Okay, the first three quarters, McCarron was sloppy. You know, he blamed the rain a little bit. But at any rate, fourth quarter, they're down by 15 against the Steelers. Not just the playoffs, but against the Steelers. And he brings them back. They're down 15. They get 16 points in the fourth quarter. And they had good field position, but McCarron converted third and fourth conversion after conversion. He converted on the first drive. He converted. He had like a 42-yard pass to AJ Green that pass interference was called on it, and they placed the ball on the four-yard line. Jeremy Hill runs in for the touchdown. The next drive, he converted a 3rd and 9 to Tyler Eifert for 18 yards and got them in position for a field goal. And then on the third drive, he converted a 4th and 2 with a 9-yard pass to Marvin Jones. And they, of course, he got that 25-yard touchdown pass to AJ Green that we all thought, you know, won the game. That was on 3rd and 7. So it's multiple 3rd and 4th downs that, you know, he delivered. You know, he just kept them, you know, he scored every possession until Jeremy Hill fumbled the game away on that next drive.
Yes, yeah. McCarron led them back in a game where he was very, very bad for the first 40 minutes of. I think that we need to clarify that. He didn't play well against the Steelers in the first two quarters, in the first half in general.
Right, but John, let's think about the standards of Bengals quarterback play in the playoffs.
And that's like my main point with all this. Andy Dalton, when he came out of college in TCU, the dude just won a Rose Bowl against J.J. Watt's Wisconsin Badgers. When he came out of college, the whole narrative of him failing under pressure, it didn't start until his first couple years in the NFL when they were successful and they went to the playoffs and they didn't play well. That was AJ McCarron's fifth game in the league, and he was still, for the most part, the same quarterback that he was in Alabama. I don't want to, and Carson Palmer never had any issues at USC. He was a very great quarterback. He was the first overall pick. And then he didn't play well in primetime games either. The only common denominator here is Marvin Lewis. I don't think Marvin Lewis is the kind of quarterback that can elevate his quarterback in any way. And I do think that could help McCarron. I don't think it's that, you know, blunt, but it kind of does seem that way. I don't think any system that he could put in place or any type of, you know, leadership and coaching style that can elevate a quarterback. And I think that he's diminished Dalton's ability to an extent, and I think he could have diminished McCarron's.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I'm just trying to make the argument for McCarron in terms of, you know, saying that he was in this ideal situation and he just took the offense down a notch. Whereas I really doubt that Dalton would have won that game in Pittsburgh. I really doubt that.
I don't believe any quarterback under Marvin Lewis can win a playoff game. So
I think it's possible, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers might be on the market, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
That'll be a close loss. That'll be a close loss. I'll give him that.
John, it looks like we got a caller. It's one of your co-hosts from the YouTube channel. Yeah, it's Oji. He wants
It's the Oji with the emoji. It's the Oji. I got the emojis tonight. Tonight was a very... You know, it's funny. Nice to meet you, Cameron. It's great to be on your show. You should come on our show sometime. It's with DNH Sports, with most happening scene in the internet and all over with John Sheeran, and yours truly, and Daddy.
I don't know, man. Do you think he and Daddy would get along?
No, I don't think so. Anyways, he's a shady guy. Hey, so here's the thing. Look. So I'm kind of well known as a McCarron. You call me McCarron, fanboy enthusiast is what I call myself. So today's a big deal for all McCarron fans all over. It's the day of truth, okay? And I think what you're about to see is really a watershed moment for McCarron's career. The rumors on the street. I don't know if you've already talked about this or not, but the rumors on the street are that. That Denver is interested in McCarron. Have you guys already talked about where he might go?
We were just talking about how we think he's probably going to end up on the Browns, by all indications.
No, I think that's a guarantee at this point. I don't see any other team possibly matching what the Browns could potentially offer him. I think that was always the favorite. And I trust Ben Albright. I trust his knowledge of where guys are going to end up.
I think whether he's on the Browns or he's on the Broncos or the Buccaneers for that matter, whatever team takes him, he's gonna surprise a lot of people. And the biggest surprise, you guys realize, if McCarron's successful, it says something about Bengals management. When you have a situation where your QB just keeps failing the way and poor Andy Dalton has been. It raises certain questions. Why not earlier? And I think those are the questions that will be asked when McCarron does well this year, and I that's what I foresee.
The only question about why not earlier is the question of why didn't they deal McCarron earlier? Why didn't they just, set a price for him and just taking the second-round pick? I think they got really stingy. We were talking about this. I think he just got really stingy with that first-round value, and they just waited too long. And eventually the asset depreciated, and they're only going to get, half of what they originally thought they were going to get.
Well, I think that, honestly, that A.J. McCarron has a lot of value for the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they wanted to keep him. I think I honestly think they had plans for him beyond being a backup QB. And sure, they were willing to give him up as for what they thought he was worth. They did, of course, try to work that deal out with the incompetent Browns management. It didn't work out too well. But I blame the Bengals for a lot of stuff when it comes to McCarron's career. I really don't understand why when Dalton was doing really badly earlier on, why didn't you just give the guy a chance? Earlier on this year, they really could have given him more of a chance, and they didn't.
They could have done that with, a couple of their guards on the roster when they knew Kevin Zeiler was going out the door. That's just something that they just aren't good at. They're not good at giving young players snaps before, before they know that they're on their way out. But here's my question to you, Hoji. Would A.J. McCarron really be the quarterback that you think he was going to be under Marvin Lewis?
I think you mean, is he going to be if he had stayed on the Bengals, would he have reached his full potential? Is that the question?
Yes.
I think this is the first time, by the way, that John Sheeran has asked me a question, so I'm flattered.
And you guys been working for how many? You guys been working together for how many years now?
We've been working together for 2 years, but usually, let's face it, I'm more on the opinion side of things. So, but I guess, in a way, my opinions are alternative facts. So, yeah, I do think he would have been successful on the Bengals. I think he knew the system well. I actually think the Bengals' offense can work. I really believe part of the problem is that it doesn't work well with someone like Andy Dalton. Dalton would work well on a team that's more put together. I think McCarron, he's off the cuff, he's, off the wall, he just kind of goes with the flow, rolls with the punches, and I think he could have worked on the Cincinnati Bengals offense. I think, yeah.
AJ McCarron played college football at the most dominant college football team in my generation. He was surrounded by talent since he was in high school. And then the only time he played significant snaps to the Bengals was their best team in 27 years. So that's I don't see how you can look at a guy like AJ McCarron and say that he can operate out of structure and he can elevate a team of his own. And if he goes to Cleveland, that's exactly what he's going to have
to do. But, John,
it's a personality thing.
Here's something.
It's a personality.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing is that I think we've become a little obsessed about stats. And at first, it was, you know, the traditional stats. Like, I don't think in the 60s, 70s, maybe even 80s, people were as obsessed with stats. And then recently, in the internet age, we have all these other, you know, stats that people didn't even know about. Or we have these kind of subjective stats or, you know, grades that things like PFF or QBR or whatever that they dish. Well, I guess QBR is kind of supposedly a mathematical thing. But my point is, you know, it used to be about people legacies are built on things like, you know, these those kind of moments, like that 25-yard touchdown pass to AJ Green, you know, to win the game. If they had won that game, no one would be talking about the earlier, you know, portion of the game or, you know, his lackluster performance. And, you know, Tom Brady wasn't exactly lighting it up his first season as a starter. I mean, they won the Super Bowl. I mean, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't exactly putting up great stats. So, you know, you look like guys, you look at guys like Terry Bradshaw or Joe Namath or whatever, and they have terrible stats, even for that era, but they're legends. My point is this, he didn't win a Super Bowl, AJ McCarron, I don't want to say that, but I think that the fact that he put the Bengals in position to win really, really means a lot to a franchise like the Bengals, and I think the stats would come later. You know, he was a rookie. That was his fourth start of his career. So here's the thing. I think the age of
McCarron.
Well, I was just gonna say I'm all about camera. Yeah, no, I'm all about you know, setting the bar pretty high, and it's very clear that Dalton won't get us there. It's not clear that McCarron wins, and McCarron probably would have cost around the same as Andy Dalton if they gave him a, you know, multi-year deal. They could have given him like a Mike Lennon deal. So personally, you know, I say, hey, it's very clear Dalton doesn't have the personality to win or to carry a team. He might end up winning a playoff game, but he'll just because he's Blake Bortling his way through the game. The way, you know, what was that game where Bortles threw like the first playoff game? He had like as many yards rushing as he did passing.
Yeah, it was against Buffalo.
The fact of the matter is any competent QB can play the Andy Dalton game of set hut, throw the ball away quickly, you know, 5 yards, 6 yards. That's a very poor game, and it's our offense has just gotten used to it. But the AJ McCarron that made me a believer, although I actually believed in him before this, but sort of kind of, how should we say, you know, stole my heart, was the AJ McCarron that we saw in against the Steelers, you know, in that playoff matchup. He was, if you remember the game, it was the exact kind of game that Andy Dalton would not have been able to pull off. You know, we were down, we thought everything was over, and he brought it back.
I think Andy Dalton could have pulled off that first half where AJ McCarron didn't do jack squat.
Yeah, he would have done the same thing as McCarron, maybe one more turnover.
No, but it's the comeback part. It's the comeback part, right?
Right. He definitely wouldn't have had that fourth quarter. Definitely not against the Steelers.
Not the fourth quarter. No. And what we've learned, and what everybody's starting to learn, and everybody's kind of coming around watching their Nick Foles and watching the everything we've seen this year, is that actually, guess what? It's a game. Yeah, it's a game. You take risks. You do the unexpected. You go forward on fourth. It is a game. If you're playing football the way you play chess, then you're gonna go 8-6 or whatever. But if you play football the way you do, like football, then you're gonna win. And that is a risk-taking game where you throw caution to the wind, where you give your AJ McCarron the ball, even though Andy Dalton is the numbers guy. And that's the problem, is the Bengals are so 1990s in the way they approach football. They're so early 2000s in the way they approach football. It's 2018. You get with the program.
Yeah, well, I got to move on. I have to move on.
It was good talking to you guys.
Talked about.
Thank you.
We talked. Yeah, well, thank you, Hoji, for coming on the program.
Of course, man. I wish you the best with your show. I hope you can come to our show. It's John Sheeran. It's Hoji Msumoji. It's Daddy McDuck. We've got the most successful show on the internet, DH Sports, Siswish. Sorry if I spit when I speak. We got a lot of great stuff, so thanks for listening. And also, we have some puppets, but I'll talk about that later. Take care. Good night.
All right.
Over and out.
All right. So
the whole marketing department right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't hang up. Okay, now he did. So John, just real quickly, I want to talk about where you think he should go. So we talk about where he might end up. What team do you think he would have the best chance of success on?
I think it has to be Cleveland, because that's a coach that we know has confidence in him. It's a coach that we know is going to do, he's going to do his best to put in a system that will be successful for him. Now, I don't have a lot of confidence in saying that because of what we just saw with Hugh Jackson and DeShone Kizer, the way he just mismanaged that to hell. And, that's obviously a big question mark. But I do think that, if there's any team that's going to give him the best chance of success, even if they don't have the best roster, it's probably going to be Cleveland. They're definitely going to compensate him more than any other team will. I don't think that the Jets are going to take a chance on him. I think the Jets and Broncos are both going to be focused on Kirk Cousins. I think the Browns have been McCarron's destination from the get-go.
There's only one Kirk Cousins. And you have the Broncos, the Jets, the Cardinals, and maybe the Vikings. If I were the Vikings, I'd stick with Teddy Bridgewater personally and maybe draft the guy.
But I'm all with that.
But they're not going to. I shouldn't say they might do that. But I would probably let Keenum walk and, stick with Bridgewater. But at any rate, you have the Cardinals, let's say, who are in the market for a brand new quarterback. And they're, Larry Fitzgerald just announced today that he's not done. I shouldn't say he announced. I don't know. It was out there. I don't know who reported it. Broncos, they have a roster that could be back in the hunt real fast. So Jets, they surprised people last year. But again, they might think that McCarron's not such a big step up for McCown, and McCown's a nice bridge while you draft a guy, right? They might give McCown another year or two. I can see the Cardinals, Broncos, of course the Browns.
Right. So one team's going to get McCarron, one team's going to get Cousins, and then once that's over, they're going to look at the draft, and it's up to those teams to decide. Okay, what do we want to do? Do we want to bring in McCarron as like a Mike Glenn situation where he's kind of like that pseudo bridge when we draft a quarterback, or do we think that McCarron has the ability to to give us better production out of the gate than a rookie quarterback? And that's definitely something that those teams are going to have to decide, because they're going to pay him, much more than what you would get on a rookie quarterback salary.
Yeah, much more than guaranteed money. So I think that the Browns would be the most likely. That would be the way they'd win him over, in addition to the Hugh Jackson connection, all that, would be, hey, we'll give you, $30 million in guaranteed as opposed to $15 million,
Right.
That could happen, I think the Browns are kind of they've drafted a lot of quarterbacks. I think they could use a break, maybe go with McCarron for a year and then come back to the position in a year or two. Because I think McCarron's the kind of quarterback that he's not gonna be a disaster wherever he goes. Personally, that's what I think. I don't think he's not gonna throw like 5 interceptions in a game or something.
I haven't seen him, but I wouldn't put it past him.
All right, so where he should go, I was kind of looking more in terms of scheme, if you had something in mind. You're thinking more in terms of the state of the franchise, but in terms of the weapons around him or just scheme fit.
Well, I do think that Cleveland, Hugh's going to put in a system of which he succeeded kind of like 2015. I think they've been doing similar concepts in terms of personnel packages and just passing concepts in general. They just haven't been able to execute at the level that the Bengals of that year were. But I do think that's probably where he's just going to schematically fit the best as well.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question is, what happens to the Bengals? So Driscoll is probably going to be the number two for now. I could see them drafting a quarterback no earlier than the third round, I think.
That sounds about right.
I think they'll draft someone kind of like a McCarron, a guy that, is kind of like a Dalton, but, I don't think they'll draft someone who, one of those guys like JT Barrett or something. I think they'll take a more traditional passer like McCarron, maybe a guy who's won or played for, an SEC school or something. That's kind of the way they operate.
They definitely like big schools, and I do think that there is a good chance that this is going to be a guy who has legit potential to be Dalton's successor this time, and not someone so similar to Dalton where you can just take up, you know, right where they left off if he gets injured. But Dalton's 31, and he only has like 3 years left on his contract, so this could be
he's 30. He's extremely durable, other than that freak thumb injury. And I mean, 30 nowadays, like, you know, Brady, they traded Garoppolo because Brady, 40-year-old Brady, is like, I want to play, you know, another whatever 5 years. I mean,
yeah, but he's a unicorn. Brady's
he's a unicorn, but look, okay, Breeze, who else? You know, most of these quarterbacks, they'll last now until, you know, Peyton Manning. They'll last until 37, 38 in general.
I don't really think it's about how long Andy Dalton can play. It's just about, are the Bengals willing to pay Andy Dalton when he's 32, 33 years old?
If they can get him on a bargain deal, yes. If he happens to have another 2015 season in the next year or two, and they have to give him, like, you know, the QB market is so ridiculous. If you show that you're a team starter, you automatically have to get the next, you know, market-setting deal. It's so ridiculous. Like, I don't know.
There's no way the Bengals are going to reset the market.
No, they're not. But there's no way that Dalton's going to be in the MVP conversation. I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe things could change. But that's about where we are. Any final thoughts on this whole situation, John?
It's about as well as I would hope the Bengals could handle any situation, and that is complete failure. So
there we go. That's the state of the Bengals. We'll see you next time on the Bengals Wire podcast. Make sure to check out the site, bengalswire.usatoday.com, and the Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow John on Twitter, @John_Sheeran. You can follow me as well. It's just @CameronZargar. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.